You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate. While so many are off fishing or swimming on a summer's day, what do we know about the direction of the economy? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. What is the trade war doing to or doing for the global economy? We'll know more tomorrow when the International Monetary Fund comes out with its fresh global outlook. Marketplace's Mariel Segarra has a preview.
Things have changed since the IMF released its last World Economic Outlook in April. It predicted that global growth would be 3.3% this year. But Ishwar Prasad at the Brookings Institution says the prospects for economic growth have dimmed. For one thing, back then it looked like there might be a trade deal between the U.S. and China.
Instead, what has happened in the last couple of months is that the prospects for a U.S.-China trade deal have diminished, and the Trump administration has ratcheted up trade tensions and also talk of currency war.
Prasad says economic growth is slowing in China and the UK, and that economists expect it to slow in Japan and the Eurozone, too. Gus Fauchet, chief economist at PNC, says he expects the IMF to talk about something positive, too, that in many places, economic conditions for consumers are pretty solid.
In the United States, in Europe, in Japan, you have a decent job growth that's raising consumer incomes and consumer spending.
But Fauchet says things are about as good for consumers right now as they're going to get. I'm Mariel Segarra for Marketplace.
Now, the U.S. is clearly not an island, but economically these days, it seems to act like one. On Mondays, we consult economist Julia Coronado at Macro Policy Perspectives in New York. She can't get enough of us, so she even answered the phone while on vacation. Good morning.
Good morning.
So the key gauge of economic growth in America comes out late this week, gross domestic product. The U.S. is doing better.
Absolutely. The U.S. has so far remained resilient, mostly due to the U.S. consumer. The U.S. manufacturing sector has slowed down. We've seen a slowdown in business investment, which we think is tied to the global slowdown and the trade wars. But the U.S. consumer is saving the day with very solid spending numbers.
All right. So here we are, the 22nd of July. That means the Federal Reserve could lower interest rates, I can say it now, next week.
Yes, indeed. The Fed looks to be on track to cut interest rates a quarter of a point as a precautionary measure against the global slowdown, against the trade wars and the uncertainty that it's bringing to investment decisions. It's sort of an insurance policy, an insurance rate cut.
Economist Julia Coronado, founder of Macro Policy Perspectives, speaking from an undisclosed location where they speak French. Julia, thank you.
My pleasure.
Now, you may remember the news from 2017 that hackers had gotten into the private data of nearly 150 million people, data accumulated by the credit reporting company Equifax. Well, today there's news. Equifax has agreed to pay as much as $700 million to settle this. The FTC claims Equifax failed to take basic measures to keep the data thieves out. This is the biggest lump sum ever for a data intrusion. State attorneys general also pressed for this. New York's used words like ineptitude, negligence, and lax to describe Equifax. You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know.
Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
In the role-playing game Dungeons & Dragons, you get to build your own fantasy character, and when you play, it's with your real flesh-and-blood friends around a table, not some electronic experience mediated by pixels. A game does take effort to set up, which is where a new breed of professional dungeon master comes in. Journalist Mary Pilon grew up playing Dungeons & Dragons, so when the opportunity to report on this arose at Bloomberg Business Week, she definitely raised her hand. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
So, what does a dungeon master do?
So a dungeon master in the game of Dungeons and Dragons is the person who leads the campaign. They're kind of like the storyteller in chief. So they are running the arc of the plot that the characters are navigating through the whole game.
And typically, if you don't hire a professional for this, someone just gets picked?
Exactly. So for years and years and years, decades, when D&D was being played, your dungeon master was like the friend who was good at telling stories. The idea of it being professionalized is very new.
And so it has been. People do this now for at least a supplemental living?
Yes. It's kind of the perfect mix of the rise of the gig economy and gaming and geek culture. I interviewed several people who now do this either part-time or in some cases full-time, where for, you know, $300, $400, $500, they'll do your company team-building activity. They will just host a game for you and some friends, whatever you want.
But you say it's a lot of work. It's not trivial.
It depends. Now you see professional voice actors getting into this, people with playwriting backgrounds. A lot of dungeon masters I talked to said that they will spend hours and hours and hours preparing before, you know, a campaign. And a campaign could last for 2 to 4 hours, or it could go on for months, if not years.
Years. Now, I'm thinking about the customer for who would hire or bring in a professional dungeon master. I mean, I guess it could be a trust fund kid. But also when you think about it, right, people have been playing Dungeons and Dragons for a long time. So they're grown up and some earn some money.
Exactly. And I think the young professional crowd is kind of a bread and butter across the different cities where I looked at this. And I'm actually a good example of this. You play D&D maybe as a kid. It's nerdy. It's kind of a quiet thing you do. You're a little embarrassed by it. You go off to college. You start your career. And then now it's having this huge renaissance. And what I found so funny about this story is that in the 80s and even in the 90s, there was a moral panic around Dungeons & Dragons. People thought it was satanic, and you had a lot of people protesting and thinking it was awful. And now you talk to parents, and they're so excited. Their kids want to put their phones down and play a game that's cooperative, that promotes team building, that does, you know, kind of foster imagination and creativity.
But Mary, you like the feeling of being kind of submerged in this 3D storytelling space. What was it?
I think it's super fun. I think all games play a really interesting role for all of us because they give us a venue in which we can be unlike what we are in normal life. There's a huge fantasy element. So, for example, I was the shrimp in my family. I was the youngest kid. But in D&D, I could be an ogre and I could slay things and I had some power. And it was a shot. It was a chance I actually had to beat my older brother at something. And I think with kids, that's so potent.
Mary Pilon wrote The Rise of the Professional Dungeon Master in Bloomberg Business Week. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And in New York, you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey, everyone. It's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.